right, you know what? Now I have to stay still. I don't want to be a stationary target. I got to keep moving around. Well, it is good to see everyone this evening. I was just sitting there thinking as I was getting ready to start our lesson this evening. I think it was Pastor said. I think it was this Sunday. It might have been last Sunday. But he says, you know, when he gets ready to preach, he wants excitement. He runs up to the pulpit. In my heart, I'm running up to the pulpit. But these days, I'm moving a little bit slower. So if you see me moving up a little slower, it's not because I'm not excited. I'm excited inside. Just the outside won't cooperate with the inside. So we're going to look in Matthew chapter number 25 tonight. We're going to start there. We're going to talk about Christian or biblical stewardship, Christian stewardship. Matthew 25, we're going to start reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you once again for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the truths and the principles that we can learn, Lord, that we might know you in a more personal way, Lord, and we might know what your desire and will is for our lives, Lord. So we pray that as we study your word tonight, Lord, that you would bless the preaching, the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. C.S. Lewis said this: every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already. You know, this principle of biblical or Christian stewardship is, I think it's a vital practice that at times I think we kind of forget what is the basis, the foundation, and why, and what is the scope of the things we're supposed to be stewards of. In this passage that we read, it's a passage that many of us probably read many, many times. It's the parable of the master and the servants and the talents. And as we read through the story, the master entrusts talents to each of the servants. And each of the servants does something a little bit different. One of them, the first one gets 5. He turns the 5 talents given to the Lord, given to him by his master, into 5 more talents. And to the one that he gave 2, he multiplied that. But to the one that he gave 1 talent to, and it's interesting, if you read this, at the end of each of the servants that multiplied the talents that he was given, the master says to him, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, there is joy when we are being good stewards of the things that God has blessed us with. There is joy, and you see that here. "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The other servant that took the two talents and multiplied that, he says, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And you know, you could see that there are varying amounts of blessings here. One he gives five, the other one he gives two. And you know, God has blessed some people more than he's blessed others, or he's blessed people differently than he's blessed others. But for every one of us as Christians, we have been given a, we have been given a responsibility as overseers of the things that God's entrusted to us. Then we come to the one servant. He gets one talent, and he does nothing for it. And the first thing I see there is that he makes excuses. "And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent." He says there, he thought that, you know, he knew who he was, and I figured this is the best thing to do, Lord. He starts making excuses and tells him, "Wicked." Then he takes the talent away from him. And we as Christians, we have, you know, as I was putting this together, I kept thinking to myself, we have so much. Even as I was putting this together, I had more things coming to mind that God has entrusted to us as servants of the Lord. And I think sometimes we take for granted those things. And we need to realize that everything that we possess belongs to God. Right. Every single thing that we possess belongs to the Lord. I read this illustration as I was putting this together. There was a story, this is a true story, many years ago. There was a person who lived in a house, I think it was in West Palm Beach, Florida, and a movie company, not a movie company, actually it was movie studio company, wanted to film a television episode for a TV show that was on at the time. And they wanted to use the front of this particular person's home as the backdrop for it. And the guy thought, "Hey, this is really cool. I'm going to go ahead, go for it, you know." And so they agreed. He signed the papers, and they came, and they started having all kind of car crashes, explosions. Now, West Palm Beach, these are really nice homes, a lot of property. And they start having explosions, and they destroy the front of this guy's property. The lawn is ripped to shreds. Well, apparently, the guy who lived there was a tenant. And so the owner found out about this and said, "Who gave you guys the authority to go and destroy the front of my house?" And they said, you know, this, that. And they said, "Well, he's not the owner. I am. He was just renting it from me." That tenant's responsibility was to take care of that property. And, you know, we have been entrusted to take care of, to be overseers of the things that God has blessed us with. And I think our mindset sometimes changes from that mentality to, "Boy, look at all I have." I'm reminded of the story in the Bible about the man who was hoarding all the goods that he had. And then the Lord called him home, time to go. "What are you going to do with all these things? You know, not one of them is coming with us." And so I want to look at some things this evening. The Bible has a lot to say about stewardship. I thought of one illustration very quickly, and that is the story of Joseph. Joseph was put in charge. He was put basically as ruler over the affairs of Potiphar's house. You see this in Genesis 39. And he was put there because Potiphar realized that Joseph was being blessed mightily of the Lord. Joseph was in charge of pretty much everything that went on in that house. But those things still belong to Potiphar. And that's a picture of what we're supposed to be. You know, Joseph made wise decisions with the things that didn't really belong to him. And that's why Potiphar entrusted him as he did. Sometimes I think if we consider the fact that everything belongs to God, we should make decisions as if they were our own, even though they aren't. I think the problem is we make decisions as if they are, not as if, but as if, you know, they are our own. In reality, they belong to God. Okay, that might sound a little bit confusing. What I mean is this. When we make decisions that, you know, like the example I gave you of that movie studio, that tenant should have made a decision that he knew would have pleased the owner of the house, not himself. Yeah, to him, he's like, hey, this is cool. They're going to be blowing things up in front of the house. That's awesome. It didn't belong to him. And obviously, the owner disagreed with his point of view. And sometimes we make decisions apart from realizing, hey, this belongs to God. What would God have me to do with this? That's what being a good steward is. So let's look at some things. A couple of principles about Christian stewardship. The first thing is ownership. We need to decide, okay, who's the owner? Where does the ownership belong? Letter A is the foundation. Okay, where's the foundation for the ownership of everything we have, of everything that exists? Where did the principle, the foundation, the basis, where did the principle of biblical stewardship begin? Because, listen, you could say, well, you know, this is just something that's new. You know, it's a 19th, 20th century principle that people have introduced to kind of get Christians to do what they're supposed to do. That's not true. The principle of biblical stewardship began in the Garden of Eden. Look back in Genesis chapter 1. God established this principle early on. In Genesis chapter 20, not 21, Genesis chapter 1, and in verse 26, Genesis 1, 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God established stewardship early. He said, listen, I created all these things, but I want man to be the ones who oversee it. They're the ones who are going to take care of it. They're the ones who, as in verse 28, it says, subdue it. Now, if you think about the world we live in today, that's a far cry. Listen, God has commanded man to be the one who is overseer, or in other words, subdue these things, okay? We are not at equal with trees, okay, or with animals, okay? Listen, I'm not about animal cruelty. I don't believe that at all. Okay, but I also don't believe that, you know, the foolishness that's going on in the world today, that we worship inanimate objects or pets or anything like that. That's not spoken of here. Man is to have dominion. God is the one who established the authority that man was to have over his creations. But they still belong to God. Amen. And that's the principle we need to remember. Well, it's, you know, you hear kids say it all the time. One of the things we always have to deal with in the school, Mrs. Powderly, she'll know what I'm talking about. It's mine. Well, what does that mean? He took my toy. It's mine. I have to deal with this all the time. They always come running up. It's hilarious because you walk into the gym, and I don't even get three steps into the gym. Pastor. They come running over. I'm like, yeah, what's up? What's going on? And they're like, he took my car. Did you take his car? But I wanted to play with it. Well, is it his car? 5 minutes, you know. I should start a reality show. You know, hey, listen, everybody else calls themselves judge this one, judge that one. I should do it. It's great. No, it's his car. And I finally got smart about 2 years ago. I tell him, I said, listen, if you guys don't figure it out, I'm going to take the toys away, and then you can't play with any of them. And then they kind of go, oh. They walk away. Now, before you think I'm being mean, okay, it's the end of the school year. Okay, so you have to have a little patience with me, okay? But listen, the reality of it is God is the one who established the authority. We could say it's mine, it's mine. It's mine in the sense that God has entrusted it maybe to me, but it belongs to him. The foundation was established in the Garden of Eden. Well, what is the magnitude of the ownership? Psalm 24:1. I'm going to move a little bit quickly tonight because I'm going to give you a lot of reference verses. I'm not going to turn to all of them, but I think it'll be helpful. Psalm 24, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Well, that pretty much encompasses just about everything, doesn't it? The magnitude of the ownership is that everything we have is God's, period. Amen. We have a world that because of materialism and covetousness, and by the way, it's creeping into our lives at times, because of materialism and covetousness, we have lost sight of the fact that we have nothing to covet that doesn't belong to God. So listen, what we have, God has blessed us with. This is in God's perfect plan. This is what he has deemed that we should have. And when we covet, what we're saying is we're dissatisfied with how God has blessed us. If we had a heart of, hey, you know what, this is God's, this is what God has decided is my lot for right now, and be satisfied with it, we would have a heart of contentment as opposed to having a heart of dissatisfaction. You know, I mean, I see people, they're never satisfied, you know. I want a promotion, so you get the promotion. I got a promotion, yeah. But they didn't give you the raise you wanted. Oh, what good is a promotion without the money? Well, did you see that? Every year, I'll never forget this, and they stopped doing this at my company. When I first started working this, probably 25 years ago, they would always, right around Christmas time, they would announce all the promotions, and everybody got excited about it, and they post it on the internal website. And everybody looked at it, people got excited, and you know, you always look forward, because that's how they announced it. People started using that list to sow seeds of bitterness, shall we say. Can you believe so-and-so got a promotion? Look at this one. What do they ever do? And I ended up having to stop doing it because of that. You know what? If God decides I should get that promotion, praise the Lord. If he decides I shouldn't, praise the Lord. That's right. And we need to remember everything belongs to God. God created everything. God put Adam in the garden to take care of and work with the things that God had given him. He did. It's in Genesis chapter 2. You'll see it. Genesis 2:15. Adam was put there to take care of the things that God himself had created. So what is the magnitude of the ownership? Everything. Let me repeat that. Everything belongs to God. Well, you mean that blade of grass out there? Mm-hmm. What about that 17-year-old car that I can barely get to start unless I kick it a couple of times? Belongs to God too. All of it. God created everything. Well, no, wait a minute. No, the inventor made that car. No. See, we got to think about the foundation, who the owner is. Who gave that person the intelligence to create it? God did. And we need to think about things like that, because being a good steward means we have to establish who the owner of everything is. The last thing is the parameter. What does it encompass? Listen, when we are good stewards, when we are good biblical Christian stewards, we are simply obeying God's command to take care of all he has entrusted us with. You see it in Genesis, and you see it throughout the scriptures. Okay, God has entrusted things to us. Okay, God has not, you know, sometimes we, you know, maybe it's just semantics with the words or whatever. You know, people say, well, God gave this to me. You know, God entrusted it to us is a better way of putting it. God allows us to use it, might be another way to put it. It still belongs to God. So what do you mean? I work 14 hours a day. It still belongs to God. I don't know if I've ever shared this story. The dear friend of mine who led my wife and I to the Lord told me this story years ago, and we were laughing. We were talking about similar things like this and how God has blessed him or whatever. He goes, I remember, and he was telling me the story when he first got saved. You know, he had a lot of things in his life he was changing, and he said, I was trying to be helpful, and a dear friend of mine, who I think had led him to the Lord, they were struggling a little bit or whatever, and him and his, my friend and his wife were getting new furniture in the house. He goes, you know, I want to give this to these guys, and I know they're struggling, they won't ask for it, but I want to do that for them. He said, oh, great, so he went ahead and did it, and, you know, the guy was really appreciative. That was the end of that. So I guess a few months later, they're having a conversation, and they're all sitting around, other people are there, and the guy that he gave the furniture to is sitting there telling the story how God blessed. He says, you know, we prayed, and God blessed. God did this for us. God did that. God provided this couch you're sitting in and that chair. God provided it. And the friend of mine that's there, he had just been saved. He looks, he goes, what do you mean God gave that to you? I gave you that couch. That couch is in my living room. And his wife's like, shut up. And he told me later, he goes, yeah, I had to learn. I kind of figured out what he meant later on. I was like, what do you mean God gave you that couch? I gave you that couch. That didn't fall from the sky. It was in my living room. And sometimes that's how we get. You know, we start to think, well, wait, that's mine. No, it's not. God has not blessed us with things to take ownership of it. God has blessed us with it to, in a sense, manage it. And you'll see in a few minutes what I mean by that. You know, God wants us to use the things that he's blessed us with for his glory. You say, what does that mean? How is that going to work? Listen, if you just have the mindset that whatever I have that belongs to God, what does God want me to do with it? If this was God utilizing this, what would he do with it? And you start to have a different perspective on things. You know, you start to have a different perspective on the things that we own. You know, and even as I'm standing here saying it to you, I'm getting convicted. Because, you know, do we always think that way? And the answer is no. No, we don't. There's always the danger of forgetting who it is that owns everything. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. Deuteronomy 8, 17 says, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." Moses is reminding them, listen, you're going to stand up one day, you're going to say, look at what I've done. And you need to remember, look at what God has done.
Amen.
And when we have an opportunity, and by the way, God blesses us with more than just material things. And we're going to see that in a second. You know, the stewardship, the things that we are supposed to be stewards over, it goes far beyond the things that we can see and touch. But when we are good stewards of the things that God has blessed us with, then there's joy. Then there's joy. And we won't forget that everything belongs to God. So that's the ownership. Let's move on. So what's the responsibility? Because guess what? There is a responsibility. And I mentioned this a few minutes ago. I believe the responsibility for a Christian steward is to take care of the things that God has given to us and entrusted to us according to his desires and purposes, not ours. Say, well, what do you mean? That means that whatever God has entrusted to us, we need to use those things for his desires and his purposes, not mine own. Example, if God has blessed us as Christians with the ability to sing, we need to be singing for his glory and not for the world's money. Well, I got to make a living. That's okay. You can. But you should be using the talents that God gave you for his glory, for his desires, for his purposes. You know, and a good way to ask, to figure out if that's what God wants us to say, would God, if God was right here right now and he was standing next to me and he was singing, would he be singing the way I'm singing or would he be doing something different? What is God's will and what is God's desires with what he's blessed me with? So we have a responsibility. Letter A, what is the reason for our responsibility? Look at 1 Corinthians. You know, there's a reason we're to be responsible. There's a reason we're supposed to do these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What is the reason? What is the responsibility? Or what is the reason for our responsibility to bring glory to God? You say, well, hold on a second. So you mean if I have like a car, I'm supposed to glorify God with my car? That's absolutely what I'm saying. Well, how do I go about doing that? Listen, I don't always have the answer specifically what you're supposed to do. But I'll tell you what, make yourself available to use your car for whatever God would have you use it for. You know, maybe someone needs a ride to church. Oh, but that's such an inconvenience. Hey, listen, I'll share this story. This just came to me. When we first got saved and we first started coming to this church, we lived over in Brick and we only had one car. I was working overnight, so I used to take the car to work and my wife was home. We didn't have another car. And I'll never forget this. There was a dear family, okay, who have moved away since then, who picked my wife and my kids up every Wednesday to come to Awana and to church on Wednesdays. And they did that for months. And my kids developed a love for the Awana program and for verse memorization and for being in church. Why? Because someone made the sacrifice to say, hey, you know what? This car doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God, and I'm going to use it for his glory. Was that used for his glory? You better believe it. Amen. There's other things we can do. Our homes. Open up our homes. That's a lot of work to have fellowship. I know. But think of all the good food. That's always, by the way, that's always the good part of having fellowship at your house. When after everything is done and you enjoy, you look over and you're like, oh, we got to clean up. See, it's always two perspectives. You know, my wife's like, oh, we got to clean up. I look over and I go, look at all the leftovers. I'll start cleaning up in a minute. I'll start with the fried chicken and I'll work my way around the table. But listen, we can use everything that God has given us for his glory. Colossians 3:17 basically says the same thing. Glorifying God in everything we do. What is the requirement for us as being, if we're going to be responsible, what's the requirement for us to be good stewards? Well, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards, what? That a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. I think I forgot to put that up on the slides. Did I, Jack? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I skipped the point. The next one should be the requirement. And that is that we are faithful. It means we're faithful, that we're doing it consistently, that we're full of faith. Sometimes you're like, hey, we got to take a step of faith. Okay? We need to do that. Hey, the RU program is a step of faith. We don't know the end results. A lot of times we don't step out because we don't know the end results. Take a step of faith. We need to be full of faith. That's what faithful means. Sometimes we think of faithful as, well, they're in the church every Sunday, so they're faithful. Not necessarily. Think about what the word means, full of faith. We're living our lives full of faith. That's a requirement. The next point is the realm of our responsibilities. What are we supposed to be stewards of? And I wrote down some of them here. You can put them up, put a couple of them up. Yeah, our finances. Okay? That's always what we talk about when we talk about being stewards, right? Be good stewards of our finances. And we should be good stewards of our finances. We should be good stewards of the money that God has entrusted us with. We give back to God cheerfully. Why? Because it belongs to God anyway. We worship God through our tithes and our offering. Why? Because we're giving back to him what he's blessed us with. That's all we're doing. God blesses us, and then we kind of, hey, it's all God's. He gives it. He can take it away. Right. Ourselves. Are we being good stewards of ourselves? So, what does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are we doing everything we can to use our bodies, ourselves, for God's glory? Are we being good stewards of it? You know, I always tell people, like, oh, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about, you know, not smoking cigarettes. That says right there. We're supposed to be good stewards of everything that God's, and if we're doing something to our body that is harming our body, then we're not being good stewards of it. Would God do that? No. Our family, you know, I've heard pastor say this from the pulpit, and it always breaks my heart where, you know, oftentimes kids come back from camp making decisions, man, I'm surrendered, I want to be a missionary, I have it on my heart to do this or to do that. And right away, people are like, no, you're not doing that. No, family, no, that's dangerous. You're not going there. But if God's called that person to do it, aren't our children God's? Amen. And it's a scary thing. Listen, I understand, I have four kids, it's hard. You know, nothing is more frightening, I think, for a parent than to take your hands off of your kids and say, God, they're yours. I mean, God still entrusted us as the overseers and to take care of them and to nurture them and to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, but they're still God's. They're still God's. Our church. We got to be good stewards of our church. How are we good stewards of our church? By serving, by tithing, okay? You know, looking over in Malachi, the Bible talks about this, about the tithing. I'm just going to talk about this for a sec. Malachi chapter 3, it's right the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Wow.
We give back to God what's rightfully his, and he blesses us beyond anything we could ever imagine. Now, we don't give for that reason.
Right.
Sometimes people say, well, if I give God 100, I'm getting 1,000 next week. No, 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 no. Okay? That's not the way that works. But I'll tell you this. You give to God cheerfully, and God blesses in ways you can never imagine.
Right.
I could stand up here. If I had more time, I'd stand here forever and tell you everything that God, in just out of left field. You're like, wow, you stand there. You guys know what I'm talking about because I'm sure you've been there. You stand there, and all of a sudden, God blesses you in a way you never expected, and you stand there kind of stunned a little bit, and you're like, wow, God, you're so good. Not because he blesses because he chooses to bless us. But listen, I love that. He blesses beyond anything we can. There's not going to be enough room to store everything he can bless us with. Our time. This is a big one. We've been teaching this in Sunday school, and it's kind of ironic that I went through with this. But, you know, I told our Sunday school class, listen, our time, that's probably the hardest one on this list. You say our finances, difficult, some of these other ones. Our time. Listen, our time is precious. Our time is valuable. Our schedules are so packed from the moment we open our eyes to the time we close our eyes. People nowadays, they say, are sleeping less because they're trying to do more in their awake time. That's why people only sleep like 4 or 5 hours. Because, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I don't have enough time, dirty, I got to, you know, I'm getting up at 3 in the morning, I'm going to bed at 12. But listen, do you know our time belongs to God too?
Right.
God wants the first fruits, not the leftovers.
Amen.
And so if we're going to be good stewards of our time, we need to make sure we're using our time for his glory. That's why we take time to pray and to read our Bibles and to be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday school and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And you guys are like, we're here. I know, praise the Lord. But we need to encourage others because you know what? Our time, well, I got this to do, I got that to do. It's not as important as being in the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Our time. And I'm sure you can add more to this list. We've got to move on. So that's the realm of our responsibility, and then the route or the road to our responsibility. I'm going to go through these quickly and give you the references. It needs to be a purposeful direction. How are you going to accomplish these things? How are you going to be a good steward? I'm just going to give you the references. Proverbs 22:4, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You know what? If we're going to be good stewards, our focus needs to be right. It needs to be purposeful, okay? So we need to be purposefully making God first in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I don't know. You know, somebody just blessed me. You know, a rich aunt died or something. I have all this inheritance. What do I do with it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know what? God will show you what to do with it. Yeah, but God may tell it to give it to someone else, okay? Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I know. It's hard, isn't it? When the flesh starts fighting with the Spirit of God. It's hard, but listen. You bring honor and glory to God with everything we own. It needs to be a prayerful road. A prayerful road. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. That means not just once, it means fervent. That means you're at it over and over and over and over again. I think too many times, I was telling our teachers this morning in our staff devotions, too many times we pray once and then we quit. We're like, well, God knows, that's it. No, you keep praying. Is there someone you know that's not saved that you're praying for them to get saved? You're not going to stop praying. You keep praying. We need to be persistent in our pursuit of being good stewards. Over in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, and in verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, and the fruit of the wicked to sin. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Listen, it's a labor to be a good steward. If God's blessed us with a business, if God's blessed us with a home, if God's blessed us with an apartment, whatever, it's a labor to be a good steward. But the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Proverbs 12:11, just a page over, says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Hey, listen, be a good steward. God blesses you. God will take care of you. Proportionately, what does that mean? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Listen, it doesn't mean that if I turn around and bless so-and-so, that so-and-so is going to turn around and give me 10 times over. And then no, listen, God's ways is not some, you know, weird, sick Ponzi scheme. It's God's ways. It's beyond our understanding. But I know this, you bless, God blesses you.
Amen.
You give, God blesses you. Yes. We don't give to get, we give because we love the Lord.
Amen.
That's what being a good steward of it is. And perspectively, Proverbs chapter 15. We need to have the right perspective on things. I think our perspective sometimes gets skewed. Proverbs 15 and in verse number 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Our perspective sometimes gets skewed because of riches, because of things, and we lose sight that, hey, like that verse said before, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not seek ye first the riches of this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Having the proper perspective. All right, those were the longer points. The rest of them will be pretty quick. Third point is accountability. Accountability. First, we need to have positional accountability. In other words, who are we accountable to? God. Well, that's easy. Yeah, but do we remember that when we make our choices? Listen, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 12 that we will all one day give an account. We will all stand before the Lord and give an account of everything that we've done with the things he's blessed us with. In Romans 14, 12, the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So whatever we've done with the things that God has blessed us with, we'll stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account of it. We read the parable of the talents. Every one of those servants had to give account of what he did. The one that had the five, the one that had the two, and the one that had the one. They all gave account of what they did. There's also practical accountability. What does that mean? Well, you know, listen, maybe we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing today. You say, you know what? You're right. I haven't been a good steward. Listen, as I said to you before, I'm standing here and there are things running through my head that I'm already thinking, okay, of things that I need to make changes. And all of us are there. But listen, none of us is exempt from this. This is to be a help to all of us. So what do we do? If practically speaking, how do we fix it? How do we make this right? What do we do? Are we too far gone? No, we're never too far gone. The first thing we do is we need to confess and repent. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess and repent. Then make it a habit. Make it a habit. Once you make that change, make it a habit. It's going to take a little bit of time, but just keep doing it. Keep having that mindset. You know what? I'm just going to have the mindset of, God, this is yours. What will you do? What would you have me to do with it? God, this is yours. What would you have me to do with it? Lord, this child of mine is yours. What should I pray for him, Lord? What do you want me to do? How should I raise him? How should I guide him, Lord? What do I need to do? Lord, this car is yours. This house is yours. This money is yours. My job is yours. This business is yours. Lord, what would you have me to do with it? And make it a habit. Pastor, I said this before, and I love this. I read this as I was going through this. You can never, ever, ever, ever outgive the Lord. Think about it. No matter how much money. Listen, the richest person in this world could never outgive God. You know why? Because God gave him everything he has anyway. We can never, ever outgive God. To make it a habit, eliminate those stumbling blocks. Listen, there are things in our life that are stumbling blocks for us being good stewards. As an example, you know, maybe we've gotten ourselves in debt. And that's a hindrance to being a good steward. I have to get out of debt first before I do this. You know what? And those are stumbling blocks. And listen, maybe you need to reach out. Maybe we just made bad choices. That's okay. Confess, repent, and start anew. Listen, God is a God who forgives. He's a God who restores, and he's a God who puts us on the right path.
Amen.
And then be patient. The devotion I did this morning in school was on patience. I'm anything but a patient person. But we need to be patient because, you know, sometimes we expect immediate results from ourselves. And then when it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. Listen, God hasn't stopped working. We just need to be patient. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Those that are rushing into things. And sometimes we're rushing ahead of God and we miss it. Be patient. And finally, the last thing is the reward of being a good steward. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23 and 24, probably see it, but it's been on the gym wall forever. You walk into the gym, there is that verse staring you in the face. And you know, you get so used to seeing it, sometimes you don't even know it's there. But it says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." What a great promise. You know what? Everything we do is for Jesus Christ. And so the reward is going to come from him. What are some of the rewards for being a good steward? You know, one of the rewards we can leave behind is a legacy. Proverbs chapter 13. So what do you mean by legacy? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." You know, we can leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children that doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. You can leave an inheritance of knowing that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think about it, you ever think about how would I want to be remembered? You know, good dad, hard worker, good husband. How would you want to be remembered? And honestly, I just really want to be remembered as someone who loved Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just in words, but in my life. That's how I would want my kids to remember. Now, I've never asked them that. I don't know. I don't really want to think too much about that right now. But you know what I mean. What's our legacy? In Proverbs 22:1, the Bible tells us a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. What legacy are we leaving for our children? I read this story. There was a story of a man who was wealthy, filthy rich. And he wanted to donate money to build a building. I believe it was on a hospital. But they were going to build an entire building. And he had the money to do it. It's quite an undertaking. And he did. He donated the money. Shortly thereafter, the stock market fell dramatically. And he lost a lot of money. And a friend of his, knowing the situation, came up to him and he says, "Boy, I wish you..." What did he say? He said, "I bet you wish you could have that money back." And he said, "Come with me." And he took a drive with the guy and he took him over to where they were. Actually, it was probably more... This was after the building was built, or while they were starting to build it. And he said, "You see this? This is going to last beyond the years I'm here. And this is going to be helping children for many years to come." And I thought about that. I said, you know what? Think about that. The things he gave away keeps helping. And the things he kept, he lost. That's a principle that we can apply to our lives. Listen, to be good stewards, we have to understand it belongs to God. Keeping it doesn't do anything. We need to give it away for his glory. And I don't mean just throw it away, but you know what I mean. Use it for his glory. We talked about Malachi 3:10 and the abundance of God's blessing. God promises to bless us as we cheerfully give. And he promises to bless us abundantly. It may be financially. Guess what? It may be for something else. You know, if we have a great church here. And, you know, it's great that most of us and most of the friends that we have are in this church. Do you realize the blessing that is? Listen, where I used to work, I used to have people that I used to be friendly with. Not like the friends I have now. That's a blessing. Sometimes we overlook that, you know. We want this when we have something so much greater.
True.
God promises to bless us with a pleasing life. In other words, listen, at the end of our lives, don't we want to stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards," what? "That a man be found faithful." So then Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Doesn't say, "Thou good servant." No, "thou good and faithful," because you've been entrusted with something. You've been faithful. You've taken care of it. You've used it for my glory. Well done. That's why he says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Why is that so important? Because the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. In Hebrews 11, 6. So if we're going to please God, we need to have faith. We need to be faithful stewards. And then we can hear those pleasing words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What we need to do is prayerfully determine what God desires from us with the things he has given to us. And then follow through and act on it. Listen, if God's entrusted us because God's entrusted us with so many things, pray about it and say, "God, what do you want me to do with these things?" And then act on it. And the last thing is joyful blessings. And that's in Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." See, when the Lord blesses you, there's no sorrow, no regret, just joy. Just joy. So what's the conclusion? We need to understand the biblical worldview of everything that we do. What does that mean? Listen, God has a plan for everything. And all things in God's plan are all connected. You know, sometimes we think like, well, it's my life and so-and-so's life and this one's life and this one's life. And everyone has all the things that God has that plan for my life and God has a plan for this person's life and he does. And God has a plan. And we think they're all isolated. But you know that everything is connected? God has a greater plan. And if we're all doing what God's entrusted us to do with what he's blessed us with, imagine how much greater we can do for him. Imagine how much greater we could do for him. And I know, listen, the Bible says, run the race with patience. And it's a long race. It's a hard race. But it's a worthwhile race.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you have no idea. Listen, it's been a long week. I know about exhaustion, believe me. And, you know, all of us at some point go through those times. You work, you get home, you feel like you're getting home. Tonight we'll get home at 9 o'clock. You know, if you ate, you probably had about 20 minutes to eat. Get home from work, grab dinner, come back to church. It's a sacrifice and it's a long race. Sometimes you're like, all right, I need a day off. Fair. We all need a day off. But listen, let's not sacrifice the things that God has blessed us. I think I have two quotes up there. The first one is a long one. "Worship is giving God the best that he has given you. Be careful what you do with the best you have. Whenever you get a blessing from God, give it back to him as a love gift. Take time to meditate before God and offer the blessing back to him in a deliberate act of worship. If you hoard a thing for yourself, it will turn into spiritual dry rot, as the manna did when it was hoarded. God will never let you hold a spiritual thing for yourself. It has to be given back to him that he may make it a blessing to others." Think about that. God can take the things he's going to take the things we give back to him and use it as a blessing to others. And the last one is Andrew Murray. "The world asks, what does a man own? Christ asks, how does he use it?" God is not impressed with how much we own. He gave it to us. God wants to know, what did we do with it? My question to you is, what are we doing with things that God has blessed us with? What are we doing? Listen, this is not a question I ask in judgment. Just what are we doing with the things that God's blessed us with? And ask yourself, hey, Lord, am I doing everything for your glory? Am I doing everything I can for the things that you've entrusted to me? Well, I pray that that's been a blessing.